Previously on the Sound of Football podcast, Porto, there's some great players. João Moutinho is a player that many will recognise, as of course is Hulk.
Hulk.
Dexton.
He's an incredible player.
He is an incredible. I can't believe you did that. It's just so obvious.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm here for.
You got to cater for all the audience.
Where's my service revolver sound effect? In fact, where's my service revolver? Yes, it's the Sound of Football podcast with Graham Sibley, Terry DeFellin, and your host, Chris Oakley.
Welcome everyone, episode 79 of the Sound of Football podcast is with you once again. We're very glad to have the pleasure of your company, and on this episode we are turning our attention towards all the important stuff that's now going on at what I believe they're calling the business end of the season, with particular reference to the Premier League and indeed the Championship. We're going to look at the race for the Champions League qualifying spots. We're going to look at the relegation. We might turn our attention towards Tottenham at some point, and also in the Championship see who's going to be possibly winning their playoff matches, and indeed spending a few moments perhaps looking at QPR and their wonderful achievement of getting up to the Premier League next season. So let's begin right at the start there and turn our attention towards the Champions League qualifying spots. As things stand, I mean, as we've just mentioned off air, really the title race is essentially over. I think we can safely say that Man United have got that all sewn up, so that kind of leaves Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, and then a big gap back to Tottenham Hotspur. We'll start off with you, Graham. I mean, obviously as an Arsenal supporter, as for anybody who's just joining us after 79 episodes, and shame on you if you are, where do you see
shame
sort of
on you.
Shame on you, and stop listening now.
No shame on you. No, we welcome new listeners.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yes, that's right.
Yes, we welcome them with some shame.
It's a shameful welcome.
Yes. We've had that whole approach from day one, actually. Arsenal currently in third place, Graham. Looks like they're inevitably going into another Champions League season next season. Likely to finish third as well, by the looks of it. How's your view on this season as things stand? Has it been, you know, okay by Arsenal standards, or are you in any way disappointed? And what do you think about perhaps next season looking ahead?
Try to be succinct, for God's sake.
Well, I think if you'd offered anyone at the beginning of the season third place again, I don't think they would have said, grumbled and said, oh, yeah, I suppose so. It's fair enough, I suppose. But considering how promising it did look, then to finish third, not so great. Mm. But if you think about it, the fact they went into this season where there were five teams seriously, well, hopefully there were, as far as Liverpool fans were concerned, there were going to be six teams competing for those four Champions League spots. So it was always going to be tougher than ever. Obviously, clubs had their dodgy periods. Everyone's had a dodgy period, and unfortunately for Arsenal, it's come right at the most important stage of the season. Whereas for other clubs, they rode their one out, and Arsenal didn't. And in the end, they just ended up drawing far too many games in the run in, and lost their grip on the lead, or their ability to stay within touching distance of Man United. Yeah, Man United themselves, I mean, you'll just look at the way that they've won the championship before they have. And, well, they have had pretty ordinary time of it away from home. But, of course, at Old Trafford, they have been imperious. It's that form that has ended up winning it for them this year. Something that other clubs chasing, like the likes of Chelsea and Man City, will probably look at and think, well, that's what we've got to do in future. It's what Chelsea did under Mourinho. That's the way they did it. It's the way Liverpool used to do it back in the day.
Yeah. Do you think it's good enough what Arsenal have achieved, or do you think, like a prevailing number of Arsenal fans who appear at least in my Twitter timeline, maybe not in yours, that what they have been this whole no trophy since 2005 thing is turning into 2005. Is that right?
It's
turning into a bit of a meme.
Oh yeah.
Do you think it's a fair meme, or do you think it's a tedious meme?
It's a tedious meme. It's utterly tedious meme.
Why shouldn't Arsenal supporters think that it's not good enough to win trophies?
I really don't know.
Oh, come on, Graham.
Well,
the microphone right there.
Well, for me, I mean, I don't give a crap basically about that. I mean, I think it's something for commentators to dig up whenever they like, and for the press to keep.
But these are fans we're talking about.
But then again, the fans are informed by the media.
It's true. Yeah, apart from the ones who listen to the Sound of Football.
More discerning fans. They're intelligent fans.
That's right.
Indeed. And are informed by no one.
Yes. But of course, you know, your average supporter on Twitter go, "Oh my God, Red, damn, put some money in your pocket. Nah, put it in a finger. Nah."
Oh God, that's an amazing impression of
Blakey from On the Buses.
Or every Arsenal fan I've ever met. The friendly company accepted that.
Of course. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, And when you hear it all on the media, and then you hear it from Arsenal fans themselves, you think, "Oh, shut up."
So you think it's
acceptable?
You think it's like for instance,
if Crystal Palace
qualified were promoted to the Premier League and stayed there, and then after about 5 or 6 years, people started going, "It's not good enough. We should be going for Europe. We should be going for the Champions League." I would turn around to those people and accuse them of being stupid rubes.
Yeah,
and should think about, you know, where they've come from and think about what they're achieving in order just to be there. Is it a bit like that?
Well, I certainly think
apart from the stupid rubes.
I certainly think so. I mean, the Arsenal came from a period where they had probably the best team that has ever won a championship, a Premier League title.
In
2004, and that team was right at its pinnacle and at its end. And since then, he's been trying to rebuild a team and not been doing that great a job at it. Of course, in the meantime as well, the move to a new ground, okay, that's also been a bit of a meme for an excuse for Arsenal not to achieve. But what they've achieved while they've been going through this period of regeneration and the movement to a new ground is a fantastic achievement, because how many clubs have gone to a new ground and it's all gone the shape of a pear? And we've seen clubs that have not even managed to move to a new ground, and ooh, things have all gone tits up for them. Mm. I mean, look at Liverpool.
Indeed.
How bad would things have actually been if they're actually shelling out for a ground? The fact that they've already shelled out a load of money for a ground that hasn't even broken the earth yet.
It's still in the planning stage.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, how much they spent on that? Have you had enough of me talking about Arsenal? I'm happy as long as we're going to be doing better next season. I mean,
My view on Arsenal is there's nothing there that can't. They were unlucky with injuries because they had to play the two. They brought in these two new centre backs. And they had to play them. And I think in an ideal world, Wenger would have looked to have played Vermaelen.
They're not having him for a whole season.
Lacking and Giroud as well, who's a good player, but perhaps injury prone. I think that and I suppose inevitably you'd have to look at their goalkeeper. Would be good if they did have a really solid goalkeeper.
I think if
who could install some confidence.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chesney's more.
Well, he's that guy, isn't he? Yeah. I think it's fair to say that he's that guy. Mm. Next season they should be better. And it was a shame about Shamak as well, because that didn't quite work out. But again, first season, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
He might be better next season.
Shamak I always thought he was there to be a backup forward.
Yeah.
Because I think he was only having to play Van Persie on his own up front. So
anyway, let's talk about something else.
I was going to say, I'm sort of tempted to kind of...
Anyway, we're doing better than Tottenham anyway.
That's true.
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, we seamlessly move on to Tottenham. I mean, they were... really, the big name, the big sort of headline for this season, certainly in the early part, you know, marauding their way into the Champions League and doing tremendously well. But obviously, they've now kind of run out of gas. Still only lost one game at home all season, which is quite a tremendous effort. But it's looking now as if they're going to actually fall short of getting into that into that Champions League qualifying spot, which Manchester City currently occupy. It's going to be quite a different campaign, isn't it, Terry, for next year for Tottenham actually being in the Europa League. It's sort of almost a bit like, after the Lord Mayor's show for them, isn't it? Do you think they'll be motivated enough for that?
Well, if they get to the Europa League, I'm not certain that they will be motivated for it, which I think is a shame. I'm a big fan of the Europa League. And I think it's disappointing that English clubs don't take it, say, seriously as well. I mean, that's it. English clubs, obviously Fulham took it very seriously, but they're a small club who thought, well, this is a novelty. Whereas, the two likely Europa League qualifiers from the league are going to be Tottenham and Liverpool. And I don't think either of them are going to really see the Europa League as a worthy competition to pay too much attention to, which I think is a great chance, because they'd have an excellent chance of winning it. They'd have a brilliant chance, and that would be just brilliant. It would be fab to see. And I'm sure, any fans of the English Premier League would love to see those two, and not to mention the clubs themselves. Well, the club fans, well, Tottenham fans, would love to see them win the Europa League. I think they'd also love to see them qualify for it, because they could not do that. I don't know. I mean, they're playing this. They've got a fairly big game against City, which is really their only realistic chance of getting into the Champions League. But if they lose, and Liverpool, I don't know what they're doing at the moment. We can check in a moment what they're doing right now, because they're playing right now.
Of course, yes, indeed.
They could be, if they're winning, they could be in that fifth spot by the time people are listening to this.
Yeah.
And suddenly, Tottenham are looking at actually finding themselves and finishing in sixth, which I think you probably would have to say that's a poor show, given their expectations.
Well, considering where they were a few weeks ago, they've been in a very similar run to Arsenal, where they've been drawing a lot of games, and everyone else has been pulling away from them. You might say, well, it's the end of a long season for them, and Champions League campaign,
and that would be the right thing to say. Yeah, it's important to establish that the first time
been
in the
a
Champions
lot longer
League.
Than any normal season for.
And they were
top.
Brilliant in the Champions League when they were in it, but
and as well, you could say they had their problems with injuries as well.
You can.
But
Also,
as well, you could also say, well, Tottenham have got a big squad.
And you could say that of any squad up there.
Yeah.
You could say that of any squad up there. And it doesn't stop other managers from getting the blame. But whether or not Harry will necessarily, he tends to be a bit sort of like Teflon-like when it comes to
Christmas. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think you see that. I don't think you can see, with the amount of investment available between Tottenham and Arsenal, there is that much difference. And certainly, if you look on player for player in their starting 11s, there isn't that much difference between the two sides. And yet Arsenal come in for a hell of a lot more criticism. Arsene Wenger comes in for a hell of a lot more criticism than Harry Redknapp for his non-achievements.
I'm not going to take the bait and extend that. We'll go back to Arsenal again.
Like shoot me down in flames, I'm sure, if they could actually hit me. But,
they could just leave a comment on the website, that would be fine. Let's not shoot anybody. It's only football,
They could leave a comment on the website, but that requires typing and pressing buttons. Zing! Right, come on, let's
move on quickly.
Well,
the Tottenham supporter in the next room comes in here and thumps you in the back of the head.
Ah, dear. But I was just going to sort of chip in, actually, just for my two pennies worth, just to sort of agree with you on the fact that the squad was quite big, of course, that Tottenham have had. And yes, they have had injuries, but they also sort of failed to actually nab anyone in the January transfer window as well, which was equally, I think, something of a factor. They could have perhaps strengthened their squad. But of course, they're now essentially relying on Jermaine Defoe, who looks a little kind of uncommitted. He just got a tremendous goal at the weekend, but not the sort of player necessarily you'd sort of be banking on current form to sort of get you lots and lots of goals. Anyway, so there we go. So they're currently fifth, Tottenham, and they're only a point ahead of Liverpool, as we say. And as we speak, they're currently 3-1 up against Fulham. Looks like they are going to be sneaking ahead of Tottenham going into the last couple of games. So that's all interesting stuff. Everton coming up on the rails, but do we think, in a nutshell, that Everton stand any kind of chance of maybe pipping either Liverpool or Tottenham? Mathematically,
no, not really. No,
no. Left it a bit late, unfortunately.
Happy to be proved wrong, but
yeah.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Of course, at the other end, it's the usual sort of close run thing going into the last couple of games in terms of the relegation battle. West Ham, my team, are rooted to the bottom, and a few weeks ago, we more than a few weeks ago, we had this chat about who we thought might go down, and I kind of I must admit, I did predict West Ham would be in the bottom three, but I felt a bit uneasy doing so. And I even was questioning my own judgment, but it looks like I may yet be proven right. And the way things stand at the moment, I think West Ham will be going down. I stick by my judgment. They're just lacking in that kind of technical quality amongst the players. And all the confidence has gone, and there isn't that zip or that sense of battling and the fight that you see amongst other teams like Wolves and Wigan, who I think are even Blackpool, I think perhaps are much more worthy of staying up. So it's, as far as I'm concerned, I think we are as good as down.
David Gold suggested that he was somehow or partly to blame because he didn't put his hand in his pocket over the winter transfer window. And sign more players. I mean, do you think that would have been
what David Gold would do with his hand?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been sniffing around his bushes, haven't you? Since the football's pass in, listeners. So you should know all about that.
He's probably got a wide range of dildos in his pocket, I suppose. But that's another story.
For any occasion as well. I think West Ham need more than dildos, don't they, to stay up?
I'm sure he sells other things, not just dildos, to stay up.
To return to my original point, yes. Which got lost in a sea of dildos. do you think that actually would have helped, Chris, or do you think that in fact the way that club is run at the moment, that by signing more players in January, that might have, if anything, made them worse?
No, I think in some ways, I think the whole project of Gold and Sullivan being there is a long-term project, and I think if, as looks likely, they do get relegated, I think there's every chance they'll come back up to the Premier League within a season or two. And that's not me being kind of bullshit about the whole thing. I just think that they are little by little getting the club sort of organised and run in a better fashion than it has been in the past. But in terms of who they may or may not have bought in the January transfer window, I think they did pick up a couple of players. I think they've got Gary O'Neill, who's been a really good defender for us. And of course, we had Demba Ba, I think, came in, who's terrific, or it was terrific at least early on. His goal supplies dried up somewhat, and we had Thomas Hitzlsperger coming back as well from injury, so it wasn't like there wasn't anything, any kind of shot in the arm coming in at that sort of point in the season. In fact, one would argue that actually West Ham have played better in the second half of the season than in the first, so I'm not sure I sort of subscribe to that really. I just sort of think that they had this wonderful run of form going back about 5-6 weeks ago, that I think at one point they were fourth best in the form table ahead of Manchester United, and here they are right near the bottom again. I think once those couple of bad results kicked in, then the heads went down again, and they're really not looking like they're up for the battle, to my mind, and it's just not looking good. But give it a couple of years, maybe, or a year or two, and I think they will be back, without wishing to sound too kind of presumptuous about it, as if I know what's going to happen over the next year or two, but that's just my gut feeling.
Yeah, I mean, only two points gained in the last seven Premier League fixtures, which I think is probably as much as you really need to know about what's happened to them, isn't it, Chris?
Well, indeed, yeah, that's what I mean.
It's always going to be tough, wasn't it? Because they had Man United, Tottenham, Man City, and
Chelsea
all in those games. But they knew these games were coming up all along.
Oh, for sure. And undoubtedly the loss of Scott Parker over the last month or so has been really terrible, because there's no two ways about it. He really is the kind of... He's the engine of the side completely, and he just organises players on the pitch. He motivates them and so on. And without him, they've just looked a little shambolic at times. The marking for the Blackburn goal that was scored at the weekend was pretty much non-existent. And you do think, well, certainly if he misses one, if not both of those two remaining games, then that's certainly West Ham gone. So. You know, and there's been all this talk as well from Gold and Sullivan about, at least David Gold has already been talking in terms of players that they're going to have to go if we get relegated. And so I know Mark Lawrence on Match of the Day the other day was sort of saying, well, that's not really what you want to hear. It won't have helped. I don't think it was sort of, it's You know, I don't think the West Ham players will be sort of sitting there with their heads in their hands like 24 hours a day thinking, oh no, we're going down because the owner has said so. But yeah, it doesn't help exactly to motivate players.
Some of them might want to be saying, hooray, I'm leaving at the end of the season. I don't care.
That's right, yes, I'm leaving this holiday camp. I'm off somewhere else.
I'll be still at the Premiership next season. Yay!
Well, indeed. And you know, next game for West Ham is against Wigan, and I don't think we did too well against Wigan. We haven't done too well against Wigan last few games we've played against them. So there it is. It does look as though Blackpool going down, as I think we all predicted.
Sorry? That's a bold statement.
Yeah, well, I don't know, just on sort of current form.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
I can see him beating Man U in the last day.
Unbeaten in three. Yeah, I mean, Man U have got the Champions League, and now they've beaten Chelsea, their business is almost concluded.
Yeah, you can see there's going to be some sort of shenanigans on the last day.
There's going to be awful lot of people saying, why isn't Sir Alex Ferguson being fined lots of money for fielding an understrength side? Well, yes. Tell me that. Come on, tell me that. Tell me that, will you? Tap tap. It's big club. One rule for the big clubs and another for the small clubs. Yes, yeah, that's what it is. And so on.
Yeah, exactly. And they'd be right.
And they would be right, of course. Yeah, the fact that I'm mocking them doesn't actually undermine the rightness of what they say.
No, yeah, but it's good to mock.
They may be right, but they would be tediously predictable. So yeah, they can't.
He's also very, very.
They can't really do anything about that.
And but, it also means we don't have to record this saying the same thing when it actually happens.
We can just play it back. Tap tap tap. but on a serious note, Manchester United have form in this, don't they, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
As you will remember,
yes, of course, yes.
But particularly, I mean, you know, it's a Wembley Cup final, Champions League. That is any English club manager, any English club is going to be desperate to win of all the European finals to win. That is going to be the one that they're desperately going to want to do. Repeat the history of 1969, where they won their first European Cup at Wembley. They're going to really badly want to win that game, and they're going to and they will do whatever they think is necessary to prepare themselves for it. And if that does mean incurring, you know, tap tap taps from, you know, across the nation, then they'll do it. And if it means leaving to Blackpool, then they're not going to be that too fussed about it. So, you know, they're only a point behind Wolves. They can get out of it. Of course they can get out of it. I think, and the same to an extent can be said for Wigan.
Yeah,
especially if they beat your lot.
As I mentioned before, I say, you know, Wolves and Wigan are really, Wolves are hitting good form at exactly the right time for Lyon. I mean,
Birmingham are hitting rubbish form at the wrong time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And indeed, I mean, you're still Blackburn as well. Still, you know, you've got your Blackburn there as well.
I think it's three from those six.
You said Blackburn, didn't you?
I did say Blackburn. But then they went and won the other week, didn't they? Which made that look a little less more. I think everything's going to change this weekend anyway, but I think West Ham are going down. I think you're going to need 40 points to stay up, and West Ham can't get 40 points anymore.
Nope. No, alas. Nope. No.
But hey, you know, West Ham v Crystal Palace next season.
West Ham v Crystal Palace, let's have it. Fantastic.
Some of that.
Yeah, bring it on. It'll be brilliant.
Well then, I think let's turn our attention now to the Championship in that case, and who could be replacing the likes of West Ham and any of the other permutations of who else could be relegated. We've got the semi-final playoffs coming up. It's Nottingham Forest against Swansea and Reading against Cardiff. Graham, who do you fancy from those two? Who would you predict being the chief predictor amongst us?
Yeah, come on up, Paul. What do you say?
Mr. I picked Blackburn 2 months ago.
Well, actually, I think Reading are going to go through the whole thing. I think.
Just on a hunch, or just.
Really? Bold statement, yeah, come on, back it up.
Back it up.
Just to get Reading squad up in the screen so that you can have a look. Yeah. Bring up a few names, like you know what you're talking about.
I know Forest have got the momentum behind them at the moment, but that does come under after a quite ordinary period, wasn't it? They've won their last four games, didn't they? But before that, it was very, very ordinary form. Whether or not that just means they've turned the corner and they're just going to rampage their way through the playoffs, I'm not so sure.
Reading have been consistently good all season. The axiom is this, that it's a momentum that carries a day. If that's the case, then it'll be Forest, because they've won the last four games, as you so rightly read, Fred, from the webpage that I'm also looking at.
One that you wrote, Terry, I think.
And I actually saw Nottingham Forest play Crystal Palace on the last day of the season, on Saturday, and they took us to the cleaners, to be perfectly honest with you. And they look ready for it. And Billy Davis has experience of winning a championship playoff with Derby County. So I think that they're in a very good place.
Yeah, and that didn't end up very well, did it? Yeah,
well, I mean, we can debate, if you like, we can spend an entire podcast debating the goodness and the badness of the playoff system. But whether or not a team in sixth really is in a good place to be promoted to the Premier League is a topic for another time. But, you know, I think personally it'll be between Swansea and Forest. It'll be the winner of the Swansea-Forest semi-final. I mean, come off it, Chris, we're all looking forward to the idea of a Swansea-Cardiff final, though.
Wouldn't that be something, eh?
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, going back to my youth, to the 80s again. I just remember, you know, Swansea, of course, under John Toshack and all the rest of it. I mean, I'm not sure that they would last 5 minutes if they did go up, with all due respect, but it would be good to see Swansea go up. And the likes of Forest and Cardiff, again, with all due lack of respect, seem to have had their chance in the past and kind of blown it. So I'd like to see either Swansea or Reading go up via the playoffs, but... I don't know. Yeah, if I had to sort of pick a team, I think I would go with Reading as well. Just got a sneaky feeling.
See, there you go. Told you.
Yeah, right. Of course. So that means, listeners, that Reading will be promoted, because that's how this works.
By
people
consensus.
Make predictions and it happens.
Yes.
Well, to be fair, sometimes it does.
Yes. But I still maintain that there usually is the whole business of playing football.
Actually, what I was going to say is talking of table tappers. Of course, if Swansea play Cardiff in the final, you'll get a load of people saying, why isn't this being played at the Millennium Stadium?
And on this occasion, they'd be wrong. But usually, they're right, in fairness. An honourable mention for Swansea, for Norwich City. I know we weren't due to, we didn't have them on the agenda. Mm-hmm. But back-to-back promotions, although that may all end horrifically next season, it's a fantastic achievement.
It is a fantastic achievement. And having written a Friday list of little or no consequence recently about sort of teams that got back-to-back promotions, I happen to know that I think on those occasions when teams have won successive championships, not just sort of finished as runners-up and got promoted, but actually won a division and then won a division again the following season. Usually on the third season, they then go straight back down, as if it's all become too much of a big rush of blood to the head. And in some ways, I hope Norwich don't succumb in that way. I think they've certainly earned the right to stay up for a couple of seasons at least. I mean, they've done tremendously well. And of course, Paul Lambert has all the makings of being a really great manager, not least because he was born somewhere near Glasgow, so he's halfway there already. Of course, that's all you need, isn't it, these days?
Took his coaching badges in Germany as well.
And yes, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, I wish them all the very best. But time will tell. I think they sort of stand a better chance of staying up than whoever goes through in the playoffs. But then that's it's a pretty sort of throwaway kind of judgment. But that's what I'm all about. We were going to talk briefly about QPR. We're running out of time. A tremendous achievement for them too. Of course, all the uncertainty at the weekend of all the fallout with the FA. But of course, that was all sorted out. They're going up. And would you not agree that it's great to see QPR back in the Premier League again after so long?
No, not really.
That's why I was a bit hesitant. Did you notice the hesitancy in my voice when I said that?
I congratulate Neil Warnock, obviously, and I'm happy for their fans.
Is he still going to be there, though? He's not, is he?
There's a possibility. He could be paid off and that Count Lippy could be in. I think that would be foolish. Yeah. But then it's Queen's Park Rangers.
Yes.
And they have been known to do some fairly foolish things, like signing players without being quite aware of their registrations, for instance.
Oh, Ben, come on. We've all done that, haven't we?
We've all circumvented the FA regulations at one time or another. It's easily done.
Well, actually, in fairness, it probably is easily done. Well, that's why it's set like that.
Yeah. It's usually you, though, Chris, because you will always insist on being paid in a brown paper bag.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, you've got to have your standards, haven't you, really? There it is. So well done to QPR as well. And, well, just remains to see who goes up via the playoffs, but we'll be, I'm sure, mentioning that in the coming weeks on this here podcast. As it is, we've got to start wrapping up. But first of all, an honorary mention for one of our successful projects, and that is the Socrates Football Bloggers Meetup. We have our ninth meetup coming up in London, if you happen to be anywhere in the London area. Terry, I trust you have all the details there to tell our lovely listeners.
Yes, indeed. 18th of May, from 7 p.m. At the generous sponsors Pick Live Footy, once again sponsoring Socrates. A change of venue. We're in Clerkenwell this time. The details can be found via the Socrates Meetup Twitter stream, or if you go to twofootytackle.com. Chris Nee, one of the co-sponsors, one of the co-organisers of the event, has put some details up there. We'll be showing the Europa League final, and if there's time afterwards, and if it's still going on, maybe some penalty shootout shenanigans from the Championship playoffs. So get yourself along there. Football League football bloggers from the London area or surrounding London areas, or indeed any football bloggers who can get themselves
or podcasters.
Down.
Or podcasters.
And indeed, podcasters as well. We've had a few of those along.
We could probably have a word with them and tell them where they're going wrong.
Could give them some pointers. Yeah. See, the trouble is, Mr. Football Ramble, what you should be doing is this.
Clearly you haven't maximised your potential.
Clearly not. No. If indeed that is what we can call it. So we would love to, if you are a blogger and listening to this, and you would love to come and join us, and I think it's probably fair to say that probably the most people who listen to this show are bloggers, come along and join us.
Who
else would
be listening to this?
No idea. I have trouble listening back to it myself. And listen to us some more. maybe engage with us. Tottenham fans, come along and punch Graham in the face. Only go for a laugh.
We'll hold him down for you. It's okay.
We will indeed.
The editorial staff of The Sound of Football would like to say that punching Graham in the face is not a good thing to do.
Yeah. Doesn't represent the views of the there we go. But when we've held these football blogger meetups in the past, usually when there's a big game on, like in this case Europa League final, it adds an extra something to the atmosphere, so you can be almost assured it's going to be a tremendous night. So do come along if you can. It'd be good to see you. Meantime, that's it. Another Sound of Football podcast is at an end. Thank you very much indeed for listening. We hope you'll join us again next week. We always say that and we mean it. So do join us again for episode 80 next week. Until then, from myself, from Terry and from Graham, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
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 Contact the show via our website at www.footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball. That's it. That's kind of it.
Mm, cool.
So, yeah. Anyway, I won't bore you with any more details because I don't want to become a diet bore. I'm absolutely... Like people who give up smoking. They suddenly go,
well, of course, you see, the secret really is, you know, you have to really want it. You have to be prepared. Give yourself plenty of time, and then either way. See, you should have gone the same way as you did with smoking. You've got some patches.
Yeah, some food patches. Yeah. Just slapped a burger on the arm. That would have done it. Why has that man got a burger on his arm? He must be giving up food.
Diet patches.
The muck patch.
You're like little slices of cheese.
I'm near the end of my diet period now. I've just got a couple of sliced gerkins on my arm now.
Do you want to go large with that, Chris?
Yeah.